We're back with another episode of the Real Talk on Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. I'm so excited because we have a return provider, Dr. Catherine Benziger, cardiologist at Essentia Health. So I learned a lot from your first episode, which was in season one. So if anybody missed that, circle back and listen. But we're talking about something different today. We're talking about genetic disorders and one in particular that I'm not good at saying. So I'm going to let you go ahead and say it because you're a pro. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about familial hypercholesterolemia. It's a lot easier just to say FH.
Okay, that's much easier. I will call it FH from here on out. But let's just dive right in. How common is FH in your work as a cardiologist day to day? How often do you get patients with FH?
I see FH on a daily basis. I am a cardiologist here in Duluth, and I frequently see patients both in the clinic and in the hospital who suffer heart disease or heart attacks because of high cholesterol. And a lot of times it is because of their genetics. So I am very familiar with it. It is something that I see routinely, and I treat a lot of people in our area. 1 to 250 people have inherited one mutation from their mom or dad. It's much more rare to have inherited both mutations from your parents. Homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, that's about one in a million.
I'm curious about how you diagnose FH. What kind of criteria or guidelines do you use to identify if somebody might have FH?
FH is often diagnosed when someone goes to their primary care doctor and gets routine labs, including a lipid panel, which is looking at their cholesterol. Majority of FH is due to high LDL cholesterol. We call the lousy cholesterol. It stands for low density lipoprotein. And if that is elevated, and it can be elevated starting in kids as young as 6 months old, we routinely recommend checking kids between the ages of 9 and 11, getting a routine lipid panel to try to pick this up, as well as people the ages 18 to 21. Everyone should have a lipid panel. And then every 4 to 6 years or more often, if you have diabetes or other risk factors, but routine lab assessment often will pick this up. There are some people, though, that have a very, very strong family history with multiple family members who have had heart disease or heart attacks or strokes at a young age, usually in their 40s, 50s, women in their 60s, and their cholesterol numbers are not that high. And so sometimes the way the diagnosis is with genetic testing.
So how do you differentiate between FH and other types of high cholesterol?
It's a great question. We often see high cholesterol due to people who eat out, eat fast food a lot. I had a gentleman I took care of when I was in training who ate McDonald's 3 times a day because it was pretty cheap and easy to get a lot of calories, but his cholesterol numbers were extremely high. And we just had him stop eating at McDonald's and try to clean up his diet, and all of the numbers normalized. And so not necessarily just put down McDonald's, but there are a lot of foods that are just not very healthy for your heart and are high in saturated fats. And so the first thing we do when we find this problem is try to assess what people's diet is like, what they're eating, see if we can make some changes, reduce the saturated fat intake. Usually that means reducing the amount of animal products that you're eating, mostly red meats, pork, but even a lot of chicken, and the ways that certain foods are prepared in oils and things can be really fatty. And so we'll reassess after 3 or 6 months on a pretty heart healthy diet. And if the numbers are still high, then that's a clue that it could be genetic.
So I guess it's good to mention you can change things. You know, if you get high cholesterol, it's not like your life is over. There's a lot of things that you can do, lifestyle changes, to make it a little bit better.
Yeah. So for the people who do not have the genetic form of FH, lifestyle is super important. And we recommend the American Heart Association guidelines say you should get 30 to 60 minutes of routine exercise every day, strength training twice a week, eating 5 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, trying to eat more fish and seafood rather than other animal products. And those things will all help lower your cholesterol. But for some people, it doesn't matter how good your diet is or how much you exercise, some people will still have high cholesterol. And those are the people that are at particularly high risk of having heart attacks.
So if lifestyle changes don't work, or maybe they have that genetic form of FH, what are some other things that you guys as cardiologists can do to help with this problem?
Yeah, fortunately, we have a whole toolkit of different ways to lower cholesterol. It starts, like you said, with lifestyle changes, heart healthy diet, low saturated fat, trying to make sure you're exercising regularly. Often if you do those things, then you need to, instead of being on 2 or 3 medications to lower the cholesterol, cholesterol, sometimes you only need one or two. The most common medications that we use that have been around for many years are the family of medications called the statin medications. And I have a lot of people who come to me who are very concerned or hesitant about starting statin medications. About 1 in 20 people have a problem with metabolizing the statins and can get bad muscle cramps or pain or weakness. And so they can't tolerate being on them. But the good news is in the last 5 to 10 years, we've had a whole number of additional new medications that are very, very effective.
So since we're talking about treatment, I'm curious because you mentioned genetics, you mentioned eating healthier. Do you collaborate with other healthcare professionals like maybe dietitians or genetic counselors? Like how do you collaborate with other healthcare professionals with this?
So familial hypercholesterolemia leads to excess cholesterol circulating around in the blood vessels. And so it can deposit anywhere the blood goes. And so some people can develop valve disease and have need to see a surgeon or one of my colleagues who specializes in replacing heart valves. Sometimes people can have blockages in the arteries that go to their brain, the carotid arteries, and they may have strokes or TIAs, mini strokes, and they need to see the neurologist. Other times you can have problems with blockages in the leg arteries and need to see folks who specialize in vascular surgery. But yes, dietary, really, really critical. And we have excellent dietitians in our cardiac rehab program and things that talk to folks about what is a heart healthy, kind of low saturated fat diet.
So once someone's been diagnosed with high cholesterol or FH, how do you educate them about it? I guess, do you guys have resources or groups, or how do you personally educate them to the best of your ability?
I think one of the best patient advocacy organizations out there is the Familial Hypercholesterolemia Foundation, and they have a website called familyheart.org. And so I send all of my patients who I think have this genetic problem to check out their website, familyheart.org, and it talks all about this condition and is a really nice resource. And you can hear other people's stories. They have an annual summit where they bring together patients and experts, not just cardiologists, but genetic experts, lipidologists, basic scientists. And it's a really wonderful collaboration to learn more and try to advance the science in this area.
So with so many other things and so many other topics I've covered on this podcast, you know, I feel like if you are diagnosed with something like this, there's also an emotional toll it takes because now you're maybe more scared. If you have FH, maybe you're worried about your family members. So how do you address that side of things?
You know, often people are coming to me because they have had family members either die at a young age, like a grandmother, grandfather, even their own parent, you know, and it's very traumatic for people to have family members who are in the sort of prime of their life in their 40s, 50s, and to have suffered an event like a heart attack and to not make it. And so they're often very concerned and they're, you know, anxious this is going to happen to them. And I think one of the things that we try to reassure them is that this is a preventable condition. This is a curable condition. If we can use these medications and get the cholesterol down to normal levels, their risk is much, much lower than it would be if they had just waited until they had their heart attack.
And so obviously there's so much research that's being done on these types of things and advancements in medicine and science. Are there any recent developments in the field of high cholesterol or FH that you have your eyes on or maybe that's influenced your practice right now?
Oh, definitely. There is so much new medications and new advancements in treatment of high cholesterol because of our better ability to understand the genetic cause of this. For example, we only sequenced the human genome in the late 90s. And then since then, we've been learning about all these different proteins and things that cause certain conditions. And one of them that they found was the PCSK9 protein. And so from that, they developed an inhibitor, a monoclonal antibody, a special kind of treatment that targets that protein. And then by getting rid of that protein, then the LDL receptor can recycle and people can lower their cholesterol. And it's really been a breakthrough type of medication, these PCSK9 inhibitors. And then now there are other agents that are similarly getting into the DNA of the cells in the liver and turning off the production temporarily of this protein. And so there are newer, we call them small interfering mRNAs that are blocking production of this protein. And so people only need the injection every 6 months. And then there's new trials looking at meds that last even longer. So you only need an injection once a year. And so it's really transforming the way that we are looking at these high cholesterol problems where there's just a, you know, very simple part of your DNA that kind of got switched that caused this problem. And now we can either turn it off temporarily or, you know, maybe in the future, we'll be looking at CRISPR technology, which will be gene editing and trying to replace that, you know, broken part of the DNA and permanently curing this disease. And I think that, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility within my lifetime that we will be talking about, you know, that type of technology. It's just still probably a decade or two away from getting enough safety and research participants participants to enroll to make sure that that is a good technology and good treatment.
I'm 32. I'm relatively healthy. I go get my yearly physical. Should I be asking my doctor to check on my cholesterol specifically, or how does that work?
Our guidelines recommend getting a cardiovascular risk score assessed every 4 to 6 years. So on average, you know, every 5 years, you should get your blood pressure checked, labs to make sure you don't have high blood sugar. That could be a sign of diabetes or prediabetes, and then lipids. So I would say every 5 years, if you haven't had it checked, if it is high, then I would do it more frequently just to make sure that you get that under control. The other lipid value that's not part of our sort of standard lipid panel is something called a lipoprotein little a, call it LP little a. And LP little a is also a genetic condition that leads to high cholesterol and heart attacks at a young age. And everybody should have it checked once. It's in the guidelines now between the ages of 18 and 21, but a lot of older folks have never had it checked. And if you have a strong family history, you can ask your doctor to check it.
Better to check than to not check, I guess, would be a good rule of thumb there.
I think knowledge is power. I think it's important to know, because then you can, like we said, you can prevent onset of blockages in the heart arteries and stay healthy longer and not have to suffer, you know, that morbidity associated with heart disease.
What is the biggest misconception that you see when it comes to high cholesterol? Because I mean, I have my misconceptions about it, or I guess stereotypes about it, maybe. What is like something you want to set straight about high cholesterol?
I see a lot of folks in my clinic who have high cholesterol, who are normal weight, who are very active, very healthy, eat well, and they still have high cholesterol. And they've been told that it's because of their lifestyle, that a poor diet and things that's what's causing it. And I think that is often a mistake. There are people that no matter how good you're eating, if your cholesterol is still high, it could be that it's your genetics. Unfortunately, you know, you can't choose your parents, and they, you know, gave you this gift of not having enough receptors in your liver often to recycle the cholesterol that your body makes and that you eat. And so a big misconception is that this is due to just poor diet alone. And it's not always the case.
So now that we've covered the basics of FH, I'm really excited because we actually have one of your patients here, Donna, who has FH, and she's going to share a little bit about her experience firsthand. So Donna, thank you so much for coming and being a guest on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So how long have you been diagnosed with FH? And can you tell me that story of being diagnosed with it?
Since I was about 19 years old. And I'm guessing, and I think I was told even it showed up in my pediatric records, but back in the 60s, pediatricians did not pay much attention to high cholesterol in children. So around the age of 19 or so, I went in to see a internal med doc, have a physical, that sort of thing. And that's when I was first told I had an elevated cholesterol. Now, at the time, I didn't know it was a genetic disorder. I didn't know it was a family thing. I just knew I had it. And of course, back then, there was no statins. It was just diet, healthy lifestyle, none of which did a whole lot of good, but I tried. And this kind of kept on going until I was past, I had children and whatever, so you're not going to treat it even if there is medications, but during childbearing years. But anyways, I was done having my children. I was in my early 30s, which brings us to the 1980s, I believe. And that's when the statins started coming out, and that's when we started actually treating the cholesterol. And the statins did help, but it never got my cholesterol to a good level. Even with the statins, even with diet and exercise, I still couldn't get it to a good level. And fast forward to now I'm in my 60s, I do have stents, and that's the result of cholesterol building up over all those years. They didn't have the medications that Dr. Benzinger was talking about, the injections that lower that PCH, whatever. I'm not good at all that, but they just didn't have that. Now I have that. Now my cholesterol is really, really good. But for my children, there's more out there than what I had. And for their children, there will be so much more.
Have you had any genetic testing done since you were diagnosed at 19?
No, I have not.
So Dr. Benzinger, this is a great time to bring you into the conversation again, because I'm curious, how common is it to diagnose somebody with FH at the age of 19?
Yeah, I think the American Academy of Pediatrics now has it recommended as a universal screening, again, between the ages of 9 and 11. Everyone should just have it, their lipid panel checked once, because you can't just look at somebody and tell if they have high cholesterol. It's not associated with obesity. It's not associated with some of the other common conditions we think of when we think of people who are at risk of having heart attacks. And so you just need to get it checked. And once is usually sufficient. If it's normal, then you're probably okay. But even at a young age, you know, 19, 20, 21 is another good time to check and see if it's elevated. The genetic testing component has really become much more prevalent in the last 5 years. I think a lot of people, you know, for Christmas may have gotten a 23andMe kit from a family member and, you know, maybe gotten a result on there that says you are at risk of having high cholesterol. That is FH. If you have been told or you have done any sort of genetic testing, it says that you could be at risk of a heart attack or you are at risk of having high cholesterol. Most likely that is a high LDL receptor mutation or possibly there's a couple other mutations in something called apolipoprotein B or PCSK9 that can also lead to this genetic problem. And you should talk to your doctor and share with them those results because it puts you into a much higher risk group where you know, probably need that cholesterol lowered more aggressively than we would otherwise do for someone your age.
And I think it's important we're having this conversation because I know, like for me, I guess I didn't realize you could even be diagnosed with, like, I didn't know about FH. I didn't know it could hit you at a young age. So I hope that people listening, you know, take initiative of their health and keep this in the back of their mind. So Donna, we just talked about how you were diagnosed, but I'm curious, have you had any other complications or health issues related to your FH?
Yeah, I have 4 stents in my artery. And when I was first diagnosed, I was told, well, this could lead to hardening of the arteries. Well, at 19 years old, that doesn't mean anything to you. I didn't even realize arteries were in my heart. And if they harden, if you have cholesterol deposits, that could lead to a heart attack. I didn't actually have a heart attack, but I had some cardiac symptoms, which caused me to have an angiogram, which turned into an angioplasty to do the stents. Actually, I had 3 angiograms and 2 angioplasties. So that woke us all up. And from there on, we really started to pay attention and get something done.
So what kind of treatment are you currently receiving for FH? I imagine, you know, you talked about how there's new things from when you were first diagnosed, but what are you currently receiving?
I use the PCSK9 injection and I use a statin.
So have you made any lifestyle changes as well since you were diagnosed with FH?
Oh, absolutely. I've watched my diet all my life. Tried to eat foods that are lower in cholesterol. I remember reading labels, looking as to what's in, watching the saturated fats and all those kind of things. So yes, and even when I go out to eat, I try to eat healthy in a restaurant. That's getting easier now than it used to be because restaurants are now putting a little heart healthy and all that kind of thing. But it definitely has changed how I eat and how I live and how I cook.
What other challenges do you face?
That's really the big one is diet and to stick to a diet. You go to someone's house and they don't understand that you can't eat certain foods or it's better for you not to eat certain foods. And it's really hard that way. It's hard to go to a party where there's nothing but high fat, high cholesterol foods and you're trying to stay healthy. And sometimes you do eat the unhealthy foods and you balance it out by, you know, you eat healthy foods. So it's a bit of a challenge.
How else has FH affected your overall quality of life, I guess, aside from having to be super mindful of what you're eating?
Well, the only quality of life issue it is when you start having heart disease. And that makes a big difference in your life. And having to be hospitalized and then going through cardiac rehab and changing a lot of things in your life. But the day-to-day living isn't really that challenging. You could just learn how to eat. You just eat differently, like a diabetic watches what they eat. You just learn how to eat. You cook. Your family eats what you eat, which is probably good for them anyhow. And that's it's not really that difficult to live with.
Are there any physical restrictions that you have to follow?
No.
So that makes it a little bit easier. And then have you experienced any like emotional effects? Because I imagine being diagnosed at 19, you know, you're a teenager, you're supposed to kind of be living your best life and doing all those things. Have you had any emotional repercussions?
I think it's certainly caused some anxiety. And, you know, that's something that I work with my primary. And it's, you know, there's definitely an anxiety factor there. Yes.
Yeah. So after you were diagnosed at such a young age, did you become aware of any family members who had cardiovascular issues related to FH?
Not the first few years. You know, at 19, you don't talk to your siblings and your parents about things like your health and your high cholesterol. As I got older, it came up that my mom's cholesterol is also higher. And then as I got even older, then it was like, oh, my siblings, oh, my, you know, we start talking amongst ourselves. The older you get, the more you talk about your health, to be honest. And it turns out that out of 6 children, 4 of us have the family history of high cholesterol.
So it's safe to say you kind of started that conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
So Dr. Benziger, I want to bring you back in now to kind of talk about genetic testing for FH. If you come across a patient that has FH, what do you recommend that they do and that their family members do next?
Well, just like Donna, I think the most important person to get checked out is the person who has heart disease at a young age and has that high cholesterol. And it can be really helpful for their children and their children's children and others to know if that person, like if Donna has a genetic mutation, then the other family members could get tested. And if they don't have it, then they're not at higher risk. And this is something we call an autosomal dominant mutation. So you have a 50-50 chance of getting it. So just like Donna's siblings, 4 out of the 6, you know, it's a little bit higher than the 50-50, but it is very common and it very commonly runs in families. Usually when we find one person who has it, there's about 10 family members who are affected. So we recommend first degree relatives, second degree relatives, and third degree relatives getting screened. Fortunately, in Donna's case, it was picked up on the lipid panel because about 70% of FH is high LDL cholesterol. So sometimes you don't have to do genetic testing because you can just basically, quote unquote, see it on the lipid panel. But other families where it's a little bit unclear, I think genetic testing is really important for helping pick up those other cases and getting other family members on treatment at a younger age so that they don't have to suffer heart disease or undergo stents and other procedures, you know, in their 50s, 60s, and hopefully can live a longer, more productive life.
So when it comes to patients and their families, how do you approach genetic counseling? And maybe what is that for those that don't know?
So there are people who went to school to become genetic counselors. There's also geneticists who are physicians who are trained in genetics. And so it's a growing field. It's a really exciting field. And we have genetic counselors at Essentia. We'll kind of take a really thorough family history, kind of draw your family tree and look at all the conditions that those folks have, and then send for a panel that is specific for whatever condition we're looking for. So we have a familial hypercholesterolemia panel that we send. There's also a free genetic testing that everyone in Duluth area and the Northland can get through the All of Us research program. It's a National Institutes of Health research study. Anyone over the age of 18 can sign up online. You go to joinallofus.org and fill out some questionnaires and baseline surveys, and then you can get genetic testing, which doesn't just look for the genes that cause high cholesterol, but also will look for genes that cause breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, and a whole host of other conditions. And so genetic testing is really changing the way we practice medicine. And I think that knowledge is really important.
You just talked about a lot of the benefits, but are there any limitations to it maybe?
I know I had a person today actually in clinic concerned about privacy. And, you know, you hear about data breaches with some of these third-party companies and things and really wondering, you know, is my data protected? And I think that is a valid concern. I think if you're doing it through your doctor's office and through the medical record, I think that it's probably more secure than other third-party vendors. But research study through the National Institutes of Health, this is a federal study. A lot of work has been done to ensure that the genetic data that people are providing is protected.
So a question I want to ask both of you as we kind of wrap this up, what feedback do you have for people that are going to get tested or are diagnosed with FH?
Take it seriously, I think, is the first thing. At 19, I didn't take it very seriously. I think that's the most important takeaway, is just take it seriously, even at a young age, because this cholesterol will build in your body over time. It may not affect you at 19 or 20 or 30 or even 40, but you get to my age and your arteries are plugged up and you need surgeries and you need stents put in. That's not fun. So take it seriously at a young age.
I agree. I think the sooner that people get diagnosed and get connected with care, it doesn't always mean you have to be on medication. But if you can't get that cholesterol, like that LDL below 100 with lifestyle, and it's in the, you know, 160, 180, 200, you know, I've even had people in the 300s. I mean, that is so high. You really do need to probably see either your primary or be referred to a cardiologist who can help manage that high cholesterol to prevent early onset of heart disease. And, you know, if you haven't had a family member who's had a heart attack or who's had heart failure, you know, sometimes it's hard to appreciate how serious that can be. And 1 in 4 people, when they present with a heart attack, present with sudden death. And so it's sometimes that person doesn't even live long enough to be able to share their story or tell about, you know, what their symptoms are. And it can be really tragic for a family to lose a family member. And so, you know, you want to prevent your family from having to go through that. And you want to be there for, you know, your children and your children's children, or maybe you don't have children, but you want to live a full life and travel and see the world. And so I think getting this is a problem that you can get under control very easily with medications if it is genetic.
Well, I just wanted to add that the medications we had talked about have worked wonders for me, and I only wish they had been available sooner. They are available now, so if you're young and you have this, seriously consider these medications because they'll find something that you can tolerate. Not everybody tolerates every medication. Doctors will work with you, but if you can prevent this buildup of cholesterol in your arteries, whether it's your heart or, as the doctor had said, could be in your legs. If you can prevent this, you're going to live a much healthier life, a fuller life. You'll be there for your children, your grandchildren. And now my children are being tested and their children are starting to look at being tested. And so this is a good thing to know and to pass on to the family and to not be afraid to take medications and work with your doctors.
I think that's great advice. I think talking to your family members about this, if you have it or if other folks have had heart disease at a young age, is really critical. Going to the doctor, a lot of people don't go to the doctor regularly, but even not just high cholesterol, but high blood pressure and diabetes and prediabetes aren't always apparent until they are later on in the disease. And so you have to get screened for it. And we say, know your numbers, know what your blood pressure is, know what your glucose is, know your cholesterol, and then you can work to have that healthy lifestyle. One of the biggest things that causes heart attacks at a young age is smoking and even e-cigarettes and vaping and other things that cause inflammation in addition to this high cholesterol is really deadly for some people. And so that's usually what I see is folks who have this high cholesterol problem and are smokers. And then those are almost always those folks who are having heart attacks at age 35. 40, 45. So if you can quit smoking, get some tobacco cessation counseling, use patches, whatever you need, try again. But getting rid of tobacco is really important.
Yeah, that is really, really good advice. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to sit down and talk with me and sharing your experience and your knowledge and just all of it. It's been a really exciting episode of the Real Talk and Women's Health Podcast with Essentia Health. Thank you guys both so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.